You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
On this week's RedCafe.net podcast, we look at the demolition of Chelsea in the Premier League that all but clinches the title and ask whether or not this is the weakest Manchester United side under Sir Alex Ferguson.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode 81 of the redcafe.net podcast. I'm not Steve, I'm in fact Dov, and I'm joined by Dan. Dan, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Feeling lots of Steve this week.
After I'm giving you all that stick a couple of weeks ago for you, off Gallivan.
I don't even know what his reason is. I think he said he was working or something. I don't think that's really a good enough excuse. At least mine was, you know, socially getting a bit drunk.
And well, maybe he's thinking because the title's almost won that it's all right to go away and Gallivan. So he feels that his presence may not be needed.
I think he's resting himself for the Champions League final. Really, recharging the batteries. So he's got a big game in him left. Who knows?
Well, right, we'll start then, just the two of us talking about the game that effectively won the title. It was, of course, the 2-1 victory over Chelsea. Really, the game was finished after, the first 20-odd minutes. Hernandez scoring 36 seconds, I think it was, Dan. Vidic getting the second before Lampard got what turned out to be a consolation later on. Performances of some of the players. Ji-Sung Park has been the one that has got all the plaudits and he was everywhere, started off on the left, but I mean, he was protecting John O'Shea. He was coming inside, helping out Giggs and Carrick in the middle, and got the assist for the opening goal. So it's a great performance and kind of showed why he always gets picked for the big games.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic, really. I mean, it was a big surprise. Well, not a surprise, but, you know, he started the game. Obviously, O'Shea was playing left back, and I think it was required that we just had somebody in front of him just to help out. But I thought that the whole team was fantastic. Really, they can't really fault anyone. I'm struggling. I'm going to give the cabbage to this week. I've just been thinking about it before we came on air, and there's not many people who you could give it to. The performance, really, but I think it blew Chelsea away. Obviously, the goal helped. But I think that even after that, we didn't sit back on the 1-0. We went for another goal. And in reality, we could have had 3 or 4, you know, and really sold it. But just on the side of caution, you know what I mean? It's we've not won the league yet. We're still at 1 point out of 2 games, which I think we will do, but you never know with football. It's got a funny way of biting you when you've already think you've won something. So hopefully we'll get it at Blackburn on Saturday, and then we can relax in the final game against Blackpool.
You mentioned kind of the chances there. Obviously, Hernandez, I liked how he had his little prayer before the game, and they were definitely answered very, very soon after. But he did miss a couple other chances. He could have had a hat-trick, to be honest. They had the chance where sort of Park and put it over Louise's head, and then he said Louise got a touch on it, but whether he did or not is open to question. And then he had the other one where it was like Valencia smashed across in and it kind of just bounced off his head. He looked like he had a bit of a sore one after that. So he had a couple of other chances where he could have got his hat-trick. Do you think that could be maybe a fault of his? He doesn't take all, he doesn't take all his chances. He's like, when he does that shot on target, usually it goes in, but for like a Champions League final per se, if you need to get that one or two chances against Barcelona, you want them to put them away.
No, I think that I don't think you can question lad's finishing ability. He's done brilliant this season. That header. The header was the one which was a sitter, really. But I think the other ones were, you know, I mean, the one from the cross early on in the game, I thought he just didn't get his feet sorted out quick enough. It's not a criticism, you know, he just didn't do it. But I think that in general he played really well. You know, the thing about him, he doesn't get involved in games. I mean, I know he scored the first goal, and then after that, until that chance really near the end with his head, he didn't really do much in the game, you know, but his movement causes problems for the defenders. But, you know, generally he doesn't get involved in the build-up, but I think that's something that creates that, I think we talked about it last week, you know, creates the space for Rooney to operate in. You know, he's pulling the defenders deeper, and Rooney's got a bit more space, so it's working. It's working a treat at the moment, and hopefully Barcelona haven't picked up on that, and we'll walk the final.
let's hope so. Going back to Park as well, but do you think he's pretty much cemented his place in the side for the final?
I think it was guaranteed that he played off, to be honest with you. I mean, he didn't really have a good game last time, did he, against Barcelona in the final? But I think that I think our team's a lot stronger this year. You know, we've got a few players that have improved since then. Obviously, we've added Valencia as well and Hernandez into the team. You know, if Fletcher's fit as well, he'll probably start in midfield. So that's three changes that we've had since the 2019. So I started off being a bit pessimistic about it, but as the days go on, I'm getting even more optimistic. I don't know why, though.
It's getting closer, I suppose. It's getting closer. But do you really think the team's better than the 2009 side? Obviously, everybody's saying this is the worst United side, it's going to win a title and all the rest of it. But I mean, like, as a team, I would say it's probably the first United side I've ever seen that as a team, it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I mean, the teamwork is very good, really. Nobody lets the team down. Nobody, the team spirit seems a lot, maybe not stronger, but it seems a bit more together. You know, people are fighting for each other a little bit more. Obviously, the 09 team had, you know, Tevez and Ronaldo in it. Obviously, Ronaldo starting. But you just got a sense, I mean, we watched the game together, didn't we, Dov, in Manchester? And you just got a sense that Ronaldo was out to prove a point. It's more of a personal battle for him rather than, you know, as a team. But I think this year, you know, United players will have learned from the efforts in 2009 and realise that, you know, you've got to probably score first against Barcelona and then hope to see the game out. But I think the team in general is better. I think Van der Sar, obviously, he's probably not much better, but, you know, he's a good player. And just a few players that have improved. And like I said, Nani's improved since then. If he plays, you know, you've got Parfi, he's more of a big game player now. Giggs, obviously, if he plays in midfield, has got another string to his bow. So, all in all, we've obviously got Raphael as well, who's improved. So, you know, there's a lot of optimistic comments you can make about United's team. You know, obviously, people are going to say that it's the worst team since this and that, but it doesn't matter, does it, really? We've virtually won the league. We got to an FA Cup semi-final in the Champions League final.
Yeah, not been too bad. And Ryan Giggs, you mentioned him there, 37 years old. He's been around, well, since I can remember football, and he's still going, and he's still amazing. It was fantastic, and I loved some of the little sort of short passes he was sort of pinging around with Carrick and Rooney and Park and things like that, and really kind of controlled the game, I thought. He was amazing, and it's just to think that he's 37 years old and he can still sort of do it at the top level. When you look at somebody like John Terry, for instance, who, well, it looks like he's maybe heading down a little bit, Frank Lampard as well, I mean, but Giggs has been at the very, very top for, what, 20 years now?
The thing with Giggs is, I mean, he doesn't really, you know, when we were watching Gary Neville this season, you know, it looked like he was on the decline, you know, and you could see it in his performances. A little bit with Scholes now as well, you can see that there's little aspects of his game that he's losing as he's getting on a bit, but with Giggs, he seems to be improving. I don't understand how he's done it. I mean, obviously when he broke through, he was a left winger and well, just an attacker basically, and he just got the ball and ran at people, which was brilliant. But now, you know, he's grown into that midfield role. He's a bit more efficient with his passing and his final ball. But it's his intelligence on the ball. He knows when to pass it. He knows generally, you know, when to turn on the ball and do his tricks. But he's just a fantastic player, and the surprising thing is, as well, you know, him and Carrick in midfield, you'd never really put them two together, but the performances that they've, you know, that they've given over the last 2 months or so have been brilliant, really, because, you know, that midfield there, that two normally puts the foot in and breaks down play. You know, Carrick's very good at reading the game and intercepting, but you wouldn't say he's a great tackler. So it's just weird how it's worked out, really. Do you reckon it's more down to planning, or whether it's just coincidence that, you know, I bet Fergie in training just thought, I'll put Giggs in midfield, see what happens, and he was just like amazing. So I don't know. I do worry though against Barcelona that if we have Giggs in the middle, it might get overrun, obviously with Xavi and Iniesta.
The thing with that is, I would say that he might be the type of player, because he's intelligent, he's got that experience, because I don't think, like, all right, Barcelona, they'll press you, but they're not going to bully you in the sense where they've not got any big massive midfielders. They're all kind of little nippy guys, you would say. And Giggs has got the kind of sort of the technical skill to sort of get the ball, know where he's going to play it before he receives it. So to basically to play quick passes like what he was doing at the weekend. So I mean, I think he'll play. To be honest, I think he'll start the Champions League final. I think that you're probably going to see the team that played against Chelsea, maybe with Evra coming in or Raphael or something like that. But I don't think he'll make too many changes to the midfield. And talking about Giggs, maybe it's Giggs' extracurricular activities that are keeping him at the top of the game for this long. You never know. And well, we've got. I'm not very good at this show hosting, Dan. So, I'm gonna squeeze in an email. We've got an email from John.
You're doing fine.
Ah, cheers, thank you. We've got an email from John Fitter, and he says, 3-0 versus Chelsea, fantastic performance, and he wants to focus on Valencia, and he says he's been unbelievable. And he's in the best form of his United career and destroyed Ashley Cole at the weekend. But he wants to then relate it to Nani. And he says, how do you think he feels about not playing against Chelsea in what is the biggest game of the year? And basically being a key player when Valencia has been out of the team. And since Valencia's came back from injury, Nani's pretty much been on the bench. And he's asking if you think he'll stay or go in the summer. So I'll get your opinion first, and I'm going to offer some sneaky Italian rumours into it as well.
No, I don't think he's too bothered. Nani looks like he's more of a team player than some of the players that we've had in the past. You know, he's played a big part in the season. He's played a lot of games, and the fact is that Nani's not looked, you know, amazing since he got injured at Liverpool. He made an assist against Schalke, didn't he, in the semi-final a few weeks ago, or last week it was, and that was fine. But I just think his performances have dropped down. And Valencia, you know, he's done remarkably well since he come back for, you know, the injury that he had. I think he only really had one poor game, which was probably against City in the semi-final of the FA Cup. He didn't really get involved in the game too much. But, you know, even since then, he's been dominant. And he tore Ashley Cole to shreds on Sunday, you know. And Ashley Cole he's had a lot of good games against United, against, you know, the likes of Ronaldo and the manager, all, you know, stepovers and pirouettes and stuff like that. But Valencia, he didn't know how to deal with him, because as soon as, like, Valencia went on the outside, Ashley Cole would try and move him inside. And that was working to an extent, but then Valencia read it and just went on the outside again, and he lost him every time. So yeah, I think he's going back to Barcelona again. Sorry, Dav, I'm leading you astray here, but you know, I think that if you know, who will play left back for Barca, probably Abidal if he's recovered fully or not, or, you know, Adriano or someone like that. So I think we can utilise Valencia in the final. If we can isolate, you know, the left back.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'll swing it back around to Nani. There's been a lot of kind of rumours over here that Nani might be used as a make weight for Snyder, and that United are probably going to try and get Sanchez. I think the thing is, Sanchez wants to play for us, but City are obviously they're interested in him and want they could offer more money and give him bigger wages, but he wants to play United. And whether or not we move for him before we want to, essentially same way as we did with Rooney, and maybe use Nani as a make weight with a Snyder deal, diminishing that price a little bit, because that's maybe going to be £30 million, to then use the money to spend on Sanchez at Udinese as well. So there's been that kind of being floated around here, which is quite interesting. I don't know, should change jobs and be a transfer dealer or something like that. But
I must admit, I've not really seen much of Sanchez, but, you know, from all the rumours and stuff, he seems like a very good player. I saw him at the World Cup. But like saying, if we can do a deal with Schneider, I mean, the only thing with Schneider is, I mean, he's not so much a gamble, but if it doesn't work, Fergie's always got that excuse of saying, well, you know, the whole world wanted us to buy him and we bought him, you know. But I think with Sanchez, that's probably a bit more of a gamble. He would be more of the Nani-type player, wouldn't he? He might not settle for whatever reason. And if he's going to come for big money, then, you know, Ferguson needs to get it right. It's a bit different with Rooney, because you knew what you were going to get with Rooney. So, yeah, it would be a massive gamble, but, you know, I don't see any... There's no problem with gambling, I suppose.
Only if you can afford to lose it, Dan. Only if you can afford to lose it. And he does ask one other one. This is more for you than me. Does Valencia have a song? He wants to know if Valencia has a song. I'm not aware of one, so but you got more games than I do, so.
Yeah, I've not heard one. I could be wrong. I'm not familiar with a Valencia song. His name really doesn't. I don't think it goes into anything though, does it really? Antonio might go into something, but I don't know. I can't say I've heard one being around.
There we go. Well, so if anybody else knows of a Valencia song, get in touch, podcast@redcafe.net. We shall go on to another email. This one's from Aaron Hotsclaw, and he says, I'm just going to read what he says. It was great watching the game on Sunday with a bunch of Chelsea scum and watch them get deflated after our season was over. Plus, Chicharito was scoring early made the game less nervous. And he's got a question. Would you rather United won the Champions League this year or City lost the FA Cup? I'll give you his answer first. And he wants revenge for 2009, and he thinks if City keep throwing money at the problem, they'll eventually win something. But their players obviously will be there for money instead of actually wanting to play for the club. So what do you think? I know what you're going to say before you even say it.
Yeah, well, City are going to win something in the next sort of 5 years, then, aren't they? Probably less than that, to be honest. If you're going to be realistic, and you know, I think City have done quite well this season. If it weren't for Mancini being a bit negative in the first half, they could have got a few more points, you know, and they could have been challenging for, you know, for second or first place, really, if you look at it. So I actually think they might have missed a little bit of a trick there, because obviously everyone's saying United are poor and Chelsea had that mid-season flop and Liverpool were nowhere in the beginning of the season. So, you know, maybe City missed an opportunity there to take advantage, because I think United will strengthen in the summer. Liverpool will obviously bring players in. Don't really know what Arsenal will do, but Chelsea will have to strengthen as well. So, yeah, maybe they've missed a trick. But no, in relation to the email, I think you've got to win the Champions League, haven't you?
I would agree. This City can win the FA Cup, but
it's not for us to think about City, really, just like they shouldn't think about us, but you know, football fans do, don't they? But sometimes you get more pleasure out of the other team failing than you do with your team winning, don't you? But saying that, I wouldn't be too disheartened if Stoke won the FA Cup on Saturday.
It'd be not bad. We could win the league and they can win the FA Cup, and the party in Manchester City Centre would be quite good.
Interesting, you know, because we play the Premier League game at 12:30, don't we, or 12:45 or whatever it is, and then City play after us. So if City know that we've won the league, do you reckon it'll have some sort of, don't know, really, do you think it'll deflate them a little bit?
Maybe they'll like have the effect on Stoke more. Like City will obviously be wanting to win it anyway and get that first bit of silverware for about 1 million years, but it might G Stoke up. They might think, right, okay, we can keep them on this trophy drought or something like that. I mean, just digressing a little bit, talking about that, I've got faith in Stoke. I think after the result against Arsenal they had, and obviously the semi-final result where they pummeled Bolton, and I don't think it's going to be a walkover that City might think it's going to be. Stoke are a good team at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, Stoke have played really well, actually, the last sort of month or so since they demolished Bolton. They've done really, really well. And, you know, I think the problem, you know, sometimes big teams have, well, not saying City are a big team, I didn't mean that. You know, the bigger teams have is the fact that they can become complacent. I've got a funny feeling that a lot of the City fans think they've already won the FA Cup. And I think a lot of the City players might think that as well. So that's something for Stoke to work on. But, you know, it's a big day for both teams, isn't it?
Yeah, is indeed. And, right, final thing on the Chelsea game and the repercussions. The achievement of Sir Alex Ferguson, obviously the 19th title is pretty much there. Although I did like how you kept your feet on the ground and say we still need a point against Blackburn. But it's pretty much there. 1 point from the next two games is all that's needed. A lot of people have said that, which I find quite strange, that this is Fergie's greatest achievement, because we mentioned before that it's not known as the best United side or whatever else. But how do you rank it, given the sort of resources he's got available to him and what he's done?
Well, he's done brilliantly. You know, I don't see the issue that people have with him. I mean, he's obviously proven himself to be one of the best managers. I mean, like you're saying, you know, we've not really spent that much money over the last few seasons, really. I mean, the last big signing was Berbatov, wasn't he, for 30 million? And obviously, Hernandez coming in, as we mentioned before, for like 6-7 million, and we've wasted a bit of money on Bebe, it seems. But, no, I mean, I think he's done fantastically well. It's, you know, it's the same group of players what we had last year. We only missed out on the league by 1 point last year. It's the way that he keeps his players motivated, because a lot of them players have won it all before, you know, they've all done it. And that is that mix of having the players that have done it before and who want to keep doing it to the ones that are young and have never done it. I mean, Rooney's never, you know, won an FA Cup medal, for instance, so next year you'd hope that we go for that for his sake. And it's just one of the things with Ferguson, he's just a maestro at doing what he does.
I think as well the fact that the way he can keep winning. Like, he just team after team, he just keeps... It's like a conveyor belt, essentially. It's been a conveyor belt since, what, the early 90s. Just a good team after good team after good team that they'd never lose that hunger, that desire. And I think as well, this season's probably shown it more than most that they're mentally strong. I think all the away games where we've got wins or got draws where really we should have got beat as well. And I think that's shown this the mentality that he puts in there, because I don't think anybody else does. It's him that puts it into the players and into the club, essentially. So for me, like, he's going to go down as probably the best manager ever at the moment. It's just, I don't think there's anybody better than him. It's just, and his trophy haul kind of backs that up. Was it, I think, when Liverpool won their 18th title, it was 18-7 in their favour, and now it's going to be 19-18 in, well, a couple of days' time. So Kenny Dalglish has got his work cut out.
Well, Liverpool, I mean, I think they'll be quite strong next season. I mean, I'm not sure they're going to win it, but I think they'll be, depending on who they bring in the summer, who they get rid of, I think they'll be okay. But no, it's just tremendous what Ferguson's done. Like you say, in 18-7, it's a big gap to claw back, and Liverpool fans are all like, oh yeah, it took you 25 years to overhaul it, but you know, I don't think you could have done it quicker. So I think it was brilliant, really. Brilliant, I think. You know, credit's got to be given where it's due, you know. If that was the other way around and we'd have been 18-7, I think a lot of United fans would say, you know, full respect to whoever it would be that would do that. You know, it's a fantastic run. I mean, one day it will come to an end, and the football goes in cycles, doesn't it? So fully expect it to flip the other way eventually, and then, you know, see where we are then. But no, it's a great achievement.
Yeah, I do hope you're wrong. I do hope you're wrong. Right, so move on. Player and cabbage of the week. Should we start with player of the week? Who are you going to give it to?
I think I'm going to... I can't really hide away from the fact that I think Jason Park was pretty special on Sunday. He did everything asked of him. He created goals. He had a few shots as well. He created some problems. He was getting stuck in that tackle that he made on Lampard in the centre circle, then they went after the other guy and made the same tackle. It was brilliant, really. And that's after the game. I thought he had a poor game against Arsenal. So the way he bounced back from that game, I think, was really good. And I'm going to give it to Mr. Park.
I don't think you get many people arguing with you. I'm going to give it to Valencia. We've spoke about him briefly, and I think just the way he completely destroyed Ashley Cole, who is, in quotation marks, the best left back in the world. And he was made to look amateurish by Valencia, who, since his injury, has been arguably our best player. So yeah, he's going to get player of the week for me. And what about Cabbage? You said you're having difficulty with this one. And have you managed to get anybody from the last few minutes, or still struggling?
Yeah, I'm going to go outside the box a little bit here. I'm going to give it to Sir Alex Ferguson. Primarily just because, you know, the bowing that he did in front of the Stretford end on the way off, I thought he was going to do his back in or something. Don't want any health scares around Mr. Alex Ferguson, Sir Alex. So we need him to just, you know, rest easy and just continue managing the team. No theatrics, we don't need that. And really, the Stretford end should have been the ones that were bowing to Ferguson, because he's done brilliant in the season, as we mentioned before. So yeah, a bit tongue-in-cheek, but sorry, Ferg, you've got it.
That's terrible. You imagine giving him Cabbage of the Week, the week we have pretty much overturned Liverpool. It's disgraceful, Dan, disgraceful. It's a tough to be, like, I'm trying to think of mine. It's a tough decision, to be honest. And I can't think of a single player or any silly tongue-in-cheek ones. I'm going to give it to John O'Shea, for no reason other than he was taken off at half-time. That's it. That's as good as you're getting out of me this week. I can't give it to anybody. I can postpone it and give two next week, but I don't know, Steve might not like that. So yeah, he's getting it for no reason at all.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
So now it's time for reserves review. I've got a couple of games to let you hear about and catch up on. We'll start with the academy side, who have finished their season with a magnificent 5-0 victory over Leeds in the Academy League. The game was played at home at Carrington. It was fantastic form, and especially good since this is the last game before the FA Youth Cup final. So, as you would expect, Will Keane was on the score sheet. He got a brace. Tom Thorpe, Ryan Tunnicliffe, and Juliano Van Velsen got the other one as well, and that was his first goal for the club, the Dutchman there. And there was also a debut for goalkeeper Johnny Sutherland as well. And John Coffey, he returned from injury. Essentially, United were far too good for Leeds throughout the match. Van Velsen had an early shot tipped over the bar by Leeds keeper Alex Cairns. But then from the resulting corner, Tom Thorpe nodded the ball in, and that was after 7 minutes. Tunnicliffe was fantastic in the opening stages of the game. He then doubled the lead for United on 14 minutes when he had a free kick. He curled it round the wall, past the Leeds keeper, 2-0 United. Will Keane got his customary goals. He went close a few times before he scored. He got his first, United's third, after it was a counter-attack and a low drive. From him, he got that on 54th minutes. Van Velsen then got the fourth for United. And then Will Keane, he pounced after a sloppy back pass from the Leeds side to get his second goal of the game. He was taken off right after that, obviously saving him, making sure he doesn't get injured or anything like that. Leeds threatened, not at all really, during the whole game. Sam Johnson started in goals, and like I said, Johnny Sutherland came on after the hour mark to get his debut for the youngsters. The result means that United have finished fifth in the Academy League, and now I've got to look forward to the FA Youth Cup final. And to be honest, on this form, there's lots and lots to look forward to. Now that was the good news. Going to take you onto some disappointing news for the reserves. Obviously, they won the reserve Premier League North Group A, and they went into a playoff against Blackburn Rovers on Wednesday evening, and unfortunately couldn't get the victory over Blackburn, as they only managed a 2-1 defeat. Petrucci got the goal for United from the penalty spot, then Rochinha scored a double for Blackburn Rovers to give them the win. Some positives though: Darren Fletcher and Raphael both played in the side. Obviously, Fletcher is looking to get a place in the Champions League final team. He's only played 17 minutes actually of first team football since the start of March, so he managed just over an hour here. And Raphael, he played the first half in this game as well, getting him back to fitness as well ahead of that game against Barcelona. Blackburn Rovers, they were coming under the most pressure to begin with. Mark Bunn was their goalkeeper and made a couple of good saves, one from a Gabriel Obertan volley as well. And Obertan, again, a constant threat really for the reserves, playing on the left side, and obviously his pace, quite strong on the ball this team as well. And the Rovers right back, Josh Morris, was really having a tough time keeping up with him. Obviously, as United kind of sort of took the advantage, it was Blackburn who got the lead against the run of play. Rochinha, he just, you can only say just a magnificent, unbelievable effort from just over 20, about 20 yards out. Smacked the ball, flew past Ben Amos, but nothing anybody could have done about it, not even me or Dan or Steve. So that was obviously 1-0 Blackburn. Obviously, United, not one to be sort of put down by such a spectacular effort. Raphael hit the post just a minute after the game restarted. But it was Blackburn again who got the second goal just after a half hour. Rochinha got it. A nice finish that smacked into the roof of the net from 12 yards. It was Michael Potts back-heeled the ball as well to the Spanish player for Blackburn. So what can you say? Some dodgy defending for the two Blackburn goals. That's obviously, I don't want to criticise the boys too much, but yeah, they could have done a lot better for both goals. So obviously going into half-time, some changes were made. We had David Petrucci came on for Raphael, and Nicky Adjose, he came on for Oliver Norwood, and we went from a 4-5-1 to a 4-3-3 formation. King up front with Nicky Adjose up front, with King and Obertan on either side of him. Interestingly enough, Rochinha, he must have riled up Reece Brown quite a lot, because Reece Brown managed to injure him and make sure he had played no further part in the game in the second half. So that's what you get when you score a brace against United. But as much as we tried and tried and tried to get back into the game, it didn't look like it was going to come. But then, just after the hour mark, Josh King was running into the box, and he was taken down. And then David Petrucci stepped up and dispatched the penalty very, very well. So it was 2-1, and obviously we are throwing men forward, looking for that second goal to get into the national playoff. But it never came. Petrucci had a long shot. Obertan hit the side net, and but Blackburn, to the credit, stood firm and didn't let us in. And they won the game 2-1, and that would be them that would play Chelsea in the reserve sort of playoff game. See who's the best reserve side. So not a good end for the reserves, but, well, what can you say? They've had a quite successful season nonetheless, and seen some good performances from some of the guys, and we just look forward to that FA Youth Cup game for the youngsters, and we'll obviously, when that happens, we'll let you know what happens as well.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
So then we'll have a wee look at the Blackburn game on Saturday, kickoff 12:45 UK time. The game where we can win the league title. Only one point is needed. You'll be expecting a full strength lineup, a lineup that's going to go out there, do the job, get the point that's needed, and win us the title officially. So, how do you think the game will go?
I think that it will be a tough game, innit? Last year it was the game that kind of blew it for us, really, wasn't it? With the 0-0 draw at Blackburn, Berthoff missing that chance that he had, and I think that it'll be different this season. I mean, I know that Blackburn they're probably safe now, actually, but I think they need one more point. So I think, gentleman's agreement, 1-1, take it, win the league, they stay up. It'd be fantastic for all, I think.
That's very Italian of you, Dan, very Italian.
Well, actually, I watched a bit of the Levante and Barcelona game last night, and that was as clear as day that they were just playing out a draw. You know, but like it's the same situation that we're in with Blackburn. They needed a point really to be happy about the added, and Barcelona needed it to win the league. So it happens. You know, I wouldn't be too bothered really. Just as long as we're in the league, we need to get it really.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you'd say we need to get everything kind of wrapped up so that we can look ahead to the sort of Champions League final and start preparing for that, and then. Obviously, with Blackpool, use it more as a sort of who's going to get on the subs bench and who's maybe going to get that like two or three places remaining, if there are any, in the first 11 sort of thing.
I don't know how Fergie's going to play it, really, regarding the team. If we do win it against Blackburn, which team is going to play against Blackpool? Because obviously, if we play like a second string team, people will kick up a fuss because Blackpool are fighting for survival and stuff. And if they were to win at Old Trafford and stay up, the whole world would just blow up, I think, basically. So I think that he's got to be careful, really. We've also got Gary Neville's testimonial, which he'll give. I mean, he mentioned that Darren Fletcher would get a run out in that to try and improve his fitness for the Barcelona game. So he's one player that will definitely play against Blackburn and Blackpool. So I'd also expect maybe Owen and Berthoff up front against Blackburn as well.
So Rooney Hernandez getting a rest, their work is essentially done then.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I think the side should be strong enough to beat, well, at least get a point at Blackburn anyway. But it is one of them grounds where we've had a bit of trouble in the past, so you never know, do you?
Ah, that's true. What of a prediction then? Are you going to go all Italian, gentleman's agreement, and see it as a draw?
I think it will be a draw, really. Because both teams won't want to push to win the game in case they lose it. So I think it'll be a draw.
What about a score?
Do you want the score? Is that 1-1?
1-1, cool. Although I can see your point, and I could definitely see a draw happening in other countries, but I think Fergie will be looking to get a win just because. And I think there'll be players in there that you like, so Dimitar Berbatov, Fletchers, Anderson maybe as well, that will be wanting to sort of put themselves in the manager's mind for the Champions League final. So it's still a competitive game, so I would like to see us go out and get maybe a 2-0 win, something like that. So that's what I'm going to go for. Right, well, that brings us nicely to the end of the redcafe.net podcast for this week. Hopefully, I hope that Steve will be back next week so he can do this part, because I don't like it very much. If you do want to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@redcafe.net. We obviously love all your opinions, comments, and questions, everything like that, so get them into us. Also, join the Facebook group, and you can, there's loads of banter and things like that on there, so go on there, join that too. And hopefully we shall see you next week as a full compliment when we are officially champions of England.